May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So I want to talk about the gospel a little bit today, just some time I spent with the Lord. He was speaking some things to me from Romans chapter 1. And so let me just give you some of the language instead of spending much time introducing it. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. One of the things you have to remember is this, is that when we think about the gospel, and the word gospel, as you know, means good news. It's our good news. It's such good news for us. But the way the scripture says it, it's really God's good news. It says it's the good news of God to us. It wasn't as if the Lord was reluctant to save us, to salvage our lives, not just our eternity, but salvage our lives, make us new creation. It wasn't that he was obligated to. That was all birthed in him. It wasn't like humanity was crying out. We were running from God. And yet God's good news then proclaimed to us is that he has a solution for our fallenness and our brokenness. That's the gospel. Never be confused to think the gospel is about your sins being forgiven and you going to heaven and not hell. That's one of the consequences of the gospel, that your sins are forgiven and you're not going to go to hell, but you're going to go to heaven. But the gospel is a rescue from what we've become separated from God, the kind of people we had become, the kind of persons we had become, the kind of humanity that we were manifesting. So his good news was, I've come to save you from that. I've come to rescue you from you, rescue you from being controlled by attitudes and bad moods and brokenness and bitterness and anger and fear and all the other stuff. He's come to rescue us. That's the good news of God. Over in verse 9, he says, for God, whom I serve in my spirit, is the preaching of the gospel of his son. So the good news of God is all about Jesus, because Jesus is our rescue. Again, first part of chapter 1, let me do this. I had to have my left eye dilated this morning, so no matter how much I try to see, I can't see as good. So I'll do these super deluxe specs and hope they don't fall off my face. Paul, the bondservant of Christ Jesus, called and an apostle set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. You know, it says about Jesus in Revelation 13:8, that he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. God had already decided on the good news before we ever fell. He didn't wait till we fell, the fallenness of humanity, to scramble with an answer. He so loved the world, he already provided the answer in his son before the world was ever created, before Adam and Eve ever made the decision. One of the things that says to me is this, is any problem that you might be going through, the provision and the solution is already provided. You may not see it yet, but you can go ahead and thank him for it, because that's how God does. Like you would do for your own children. Before they ever entered into any kind of place in life, you would love to have set apart from them all the provision that they need to walk that out, right? Well, he's a really good father. And so he's done the same for us. And the gospel is proof of that, because the gospel was established. The good news was there before the bad news ever happened, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son. The gospel is again about Jesus. Jesus is the good news, who was born of the seed of David and according to the flesh, who was declared with power to be the Son of God by through the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake, among whom you are the called, or in whom you're the called of Christ Jesus to all who are beloved of God. And he goes on and on. So here's the gospel. The gospel, he says, is concerning his son who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. There's a place in 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy 2:6. It says, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So there's one God, there's only one person who can bridge the gap, the separation between God and man that resulted from the fall, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. So here's the good news, that Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, was born of the seed of David, born of the flesh, became a human. He took on humanity, all of humanity. In his humanity, Jesus was clothed in your humanity and mine, our fallenness. And in the person of Jesus, God and man were reconciled. In the person of Jesus, God and man came together. So much so that he says, we're now the beloved in Christ. We're the beloved of God. Do you remember when Jesus was baptized and God spoke with the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove landed on him? And the Father said, behold, my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Well, because the solution, we've talked about this so much, God's solution for your fallenness was this. He took you in your brokenness and placed you into the person of Jesus. Jesus, in his humanity, represented you. He took on your brokenness and your sin, died on the cross, not just for your sin, but died on the cross with you in him, so that that broken person would be buried and raised up with him. We'd be a new creation, now clothed in his unbrokenness. And because you're in Christ, you're as much the beloved of God as he is. That's your new position. The gospel of God, the good news of God is, he so loved the world. He didn't hate the world. He didn't want to pour out his wrath on the world. He poured out his wrath on sin. He poured out his wrath on the enemy. He so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that by placing us into the person of Jesus, we are now the beloved of God, just as Christ is. You share in his belovedness. You're as close to God as Jesus is. You can neither be rejected by God any more than Jesus can. You've been woven, sewn into the fabric of who he is. And now you're the beloved of God. That's an amazing thing to me. It's not because you've performed enough, not because you've earned it, not because you deserved it. It's God's good news. God's good news, God's gospel, the gospel of his son Jesus, is that you couldn't do anything for yourself to change who you had become and to change what you had done. I'm the only one that can do anything about it. And I can only do it without your help, because there's nothing you can do to help. That's the gospel of God. That's why it's his good news. It's only your good news because it first became his good news. And because you're now in Christ, you're the beloved of God. And one more thing he says, I think I can do this without the specs. This whole chapter is talking about the gospel. It says in verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. That's all we have to do is believe. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Or the word in them, those who believe, the righteousness of God is revealed. So I want to make this really simple, not because I think you're simpletons, but because I'm limited in my capacity to communicate. So I want to make it as simple as I can. The word righteousness simply means something that's not broken, and therefore there's an innocence about it. If you get a toy that you buy for your child and it's not working right, it's unrighteous. It's not innocent. It's guilty for being his brokenness. But if you get the toy and it has moving parts and the parts are working, it means there's something right about it. There's an innocence about it. There's not something wrong about it. And so the gospel, because you've been included into Christ, you've been included into his belovedness and his unbrokenness and his innocence. And when I say innocence, I just don't mean not guilty. I mean restored innocence, where you don't see everything anymore through the lens of suspicion and mistrust and doubt and resentment and cynicism and confusion. You ever noticed how trusting a little child is? There's just an innocence about them. You've been grafted into the innocence of Jesus and the unbrokenness of Jesus, so that in all those places in your life that feel like weakness, Scripture says, in your weakness, his strength is made perfect. Now that's, in simplicity, what the gospel is, that God in grace grafted you into the belovedness of Jesus, the unbrokenness of Jesus, which is now your unbrokenness. Are you really insecure? That's an expression of brokenness. But in Christ, you don't have to walk in that anymore because he isn't. And you can experience his freedom from that and go on and on and on. Grafted into his belovedness and his righteousness, his unbrokenness and his innocence. That's being set free from the fallen, the fall. And fallenness, where you feel separated from God, unloved by God, because you know you're not perfect. Always trying to perform so God will love you more. You don't have to. You're in Christ. And then you'll find yourself doing things because you're unconditionally loved. Not to get loved, but because you're loved. It's the love of Christ that controls us. And you've been grafted, therefore, into the very wholeness and innocence of Jesus. That's God's good news. That's pretty good news. To look at a fallen person, look at a fallen Chuck and go, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to fix you by my son becoming human and taking you into his humanity. And now taken into his humanity, grafted into who he is, you now have his belovedness, his wholeness, and his innocence. Whew. That's even better than pre-Adam. Amen? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. So if that's true, what I just said, then you can understand God's determination, how amazingly determined he is to be good to you. If you're beloved as Jesus is, there's as much favor on your life as there is on Jesus, because Jesus is your life. You can expect, you can assume, and you can worship him for his goodness in your life. Okay? Alrighty.